It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Last week marked the 34th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act being signed into law.
In many states, including here in Wisconsin, July is officially recognized as Disability Pride Month.
Last Saturday, producer Rochelle Wilson went to the Disability Pride Festival in Madison, where she talked to people about what disability pride means to them.
It's a hot, sunny day at Warner Park in Madison. I'm at the Disability Pride Festival, walking along a paved path surrounded by booths and activities. There are clothing and jewelry stands, a dance and sports area, a craft corner, and even a mock election location to test accessible voting machines. Standing in line for one of the food trucks, I met Nikki Vandermeulen, who's been coming to the festival for years.
Disability Pride Fest has been one of my favorite events as a school board member, also as an openly autistic individual with cerebral palsy. It's nice to be at a festival where I don't have to worry about if something is accessible, if I'm able to get around. Everything is here.
Can you tell us about where we're standing right now?
Right now, we are standing in a accessible lighted the park at Warner Park. Just got some ice cream, waiting for some delicious french fries.
Awesome. Well, so what does disability pride mean to you personally?
Disability pride to me means opportunity and it means freedom. Very simply, until I was 12 years old, I could be thrown out of every single school I went to. My parents sued to get me into public education when I was six. And I got a law degree instead, but this is the one time I can actually say who I am. I don't have to mask. I don't have to hide anything. I just have to be who I am.
Well, hello. I've been told that I should introduce myself. Can you please say your name?
Sister Chronica Lewinsky.
And Sister Chronica Lewinsky, what brings you to Disability Pride this year?
We do this every year, just come and support these guys. And I'm also become very on the more disabled list in the last 3 months. So.
And what does Disability Pride mean to you as someone who is part of the community?
Well, having been alive long enough to have seen the world before the Americans with Disabilities Act, it's a lot better now. But there's a lot of room for improvement.
And what do you wish other people understood about you and your disability or just about the community in general?
Just because I look like I don't have a disability doesn't mean I don't. I actually have like 7 things that could put me on the disability list. So, not all disabilities are visible.
I walked past a booth for the Alumni Resource Center, soon to be called the Ability Resource Center. 3 volunteers were wearing shirts that said Ability Ambassador. I asked them what it means to be an Ability Ambassador and why disability pride is important to them.
We're trying to educate people on how to get the word out to people that disabilities are just a fact of life, and a lot of people have disabilities, and we're basically here to change the world and make it a better place and more inclusive.
Rather than people assuming that, oh, that person has a disability, let's not make friends with them, because we all should be friends, regardless of our disability, and be equal like everybody else.
Like what she said, right? Everyone deserves to make friends for a lot of things, and also making sure people are not having stereotypes or misconceptions about us. Regardless of our disability, we're pride ourselves with our identities. My best advice for those in the community is that people should try to get to know us before judging us.
Ability ambassadors,
ability
rock!
Ambassadors rock!
Rochelle Wilson, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Now we meet a UW-Madison student who has made it her mission to advocate for people with disabilities on campus and across the state, including efforts to recognize and celebrate Disability Pride Month each year.
Breland Billy is a disability rights advocate and a master's student in the La Follette School of Public Affairs. She graduated from UW-Madison in May with a bachelor's degree in community and nonprofit leadership. Breland, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, coming to UW, you've done a lot of work to change the the attitude, I think, toward people with disabilities here. Can you talk about your first year and how you felt coming into UW-Madison?
As a COVID senior, so I graduated high school in 2020, spring of 2020. So I never actually, I guess, finished high school. You could put that in air quotes, I guess. So my first year was entirely online. The only time I left my apartment was to basically go to work, which I was like the Badger Wellness Ambassadors, and I had to like check everyone's phone to make sure that they didn't have COVID to enter the building. So I feel like it's really hard to kind of quantify what my support looked like. I feel like in comparison to now, there are certain accommodations that just felt like they were more expected and very easy to receive because everything was online. A lot of them were recorded. The professors just really were understanding that at any moment, any student could get COVID and might not be able to participate that week. And that's definitely kind of dissipated as we've gone away from a fully online program.
Right. So here comes sophomore year, and I imagine most, if not all, of your classes are in person, and you're on a campus that, speaking from a campus building, not always the most accessible place.
No, which was a very rude awakening.
Yeah. What kind of things did you run into?
So sophomore year, I did not start as, so for preface, I'm an ambulatory wheelchair user, which means I use a wheelchair, but I also can walk. I can use a cane. You'll see me in my various formats. Today, I am not using my wheelchair or cane. That does not mean tomorrow I won't use it. Common misconception, I am not faking my disability because of that. It simply just means that some days I need more support than others. So I did not start using a wheelchair regularly until the spring of my sophomore year. That's when my disability really started impacting me. That's when I was having the most difficulties navigating such a large campus and getting to my classes. And immediately, the biggest issue I had was one of my buildings, there was not a great accessible entrance for it. No matter what, there was a super heavy door with no push-button access, which those are not required under the ADA, but are still a wonderful thing to have when you have a massively heavy door and you are trying to navigate that with minimal strength and not being able to like shimmy your way through with a wheelchair. And then I had to go down a really steep slope into my classroom to then sit at a designated table for my wheelchair away from all of my classmates with my head cranked back to look at the screen. And it was just really terrifying in a lot of ways because I just felt like I was a spectacle for everyone, because then when I had to leave, I had to wait for everyone. Otherwise, I couldn't get through since the ramp was so steep and they would kind of crowd the walkway. So there just were a lot of overlapping issues that immediately hit me and immediately just became super noticeable, and that's carried on through the rest of my academic career here too.
And you're hinting at something I wanted to get into. I think when we think about accommodations and disabilities, we think about the physical stuff, the ramp, the push button door, things like that. You're pointing us towards something else though, social barriers, cultural barriers with the rest of the community. Can you talk about that a little?
Yeah. So I think a lot of that comes down to different stigmas and interpretations people have about what it means to be disabled. Sometimes that can look like assuming what I am capable of, or perhaps assuming that the most common one, I think, is assuming that I'm like absolutely helpless or that I am incapable of having a conversation like this. Mm-hmm. You know, there's this infantilization that happens. People automatically think that they need to talk to me like I'm perhaps a preschooler, or talk down to me as if, you know, I don't understand anything, or they crouch. I hate when people crouch next to my wheelchair.
I can always picture, like, how are we doing today?
Yeah.
I'm kind of crouching in toward you,
yeah.
That kind of thing.
Like, I've had nurses do that where they'll, like, put their hands on their knees and they're like, so how are you? And it's like, you really don't need to, like, I'm getting my master's degree. You don't have to talk to me like that. So yeah, I think a lot of the battle is actually just kind of trying to navigate interpersonal relationships with people and combating their assumptions about what it means for me to be disabled.
Part of what you've done then over the last few years is to be part, a key force, as I understand it, in creating the Disability Cultural Center on campus. What led up to that, and what was your goal there?
So the Disability Cultural Center Coalition is a group of students that were basically kind of modgepodged together from different student orgs that already existed. And we came together to basically just say to administration that all of us at some point or another in our academic careers, which at the time, a lot of us were sophomores, so this isn't like we're not that far into it. But many of us had already considered leaving campus altogether because we felt so excluded. We didn't feel welcome here. We were having so many issues. And there just isn't a space that allowed us to come together and talk about these things. We have the McBurney Center, but the McBurney Center is really only there for legal purposes. It's to protect the university. We didn't have a space to gather and socialize, to build community, to just find support within one another and, you know, talk about the struggles that we face and how we navigate them.
Now, when I say disability, that covers a lot of ground.
Yes.
It could be a visual disability. It could be an ambulatory. The list goes on and on.
Yes.
Forever. Did you see a lot of common ground given that diversity, that variety of experiences people had?
Yeah, it's kind of amazing how accommodations and support needs for people overlap, whether it's a physical disability or a cognitive disability or mental health concerns. There's so much that overlaps within accommodations, and it's kind of interesting to see how different people with different disabilities might go about navigating those circumstances. A lot of issues we were noticing were just professors not understanding what it means to need to take breaks in the classroom or to need, to stay home more than what they would prefer. They just think that there are people, staff, faculty, students, etc., that just feel that accommodations are us trying to get ahead of everyone else, that we're trying to make our academic life easier. And really what they lack the understanding of is that we're just trying to have a level playing field with our non-disabled peers.
We are talking about disability pride and the campus experience with Breland Billy, recent UW graduate and advocate. Disability Pride Month, just wrapping up now. You petitioned Governor Evers for Wisconsin to officially recognize and designate July as Disability Pride Month. Can you talk about that effort?
Yeah, so we, as a coalition, were discussing how other states have done this. Basically, July is Disability Pride Month because it is the anniversary of when the Americans with Disabilities Act, or ADA, was signed into law. Which was a huge stepping stone for disability legislation, however, is definitely still a baseline. So we wanted to recognize that in the state of Wisconsin. We were trying to figure out how to go about that. So we figured out the language we wanted. We were referencing other disability pride proclamations that other states had, wrote up what we wanted, and then went through the process, which is basically just an online form on the governor's website, communicated with his staff on any changes that they wanted to make, mainly just points of clarification or wording, and then waited to be notified if it would be pushed through, and it was. And so every single year, I think around like April-ish, I usually resubmit it to see if it'll get approved again, and it has ever since.
As we wrap up Disability Pride Month, apart from, again, the physical accommodations and things like that, what do you want people to know, people who aren't disabled or aren't disabled yet anyway, what do you want people to know to help overcome some of those social and cultural barriers to not do the crouch and lean in and also not have you be isolated too and say, oh, yeah. Well, that's somebody different. So I don't want to be a bother. Whatever.
There's so many things I could answer that with. I think the big thing is, you know, assuming that we are competent humans, but also prioritizing that we have our own ways of communicating what our needs are and being willing to have that conversation with us. Not all accommodations are these really difficult things to implement. Some accommodations are very, very easy to do. And so, you know, having those conversations with us and allowing us the autonomy in that is really important, because a lot of the times disabled people get their autonomy taken away from them in their daily lives. So it's really, really great when we have people that center our opinions, our voices, our perspectives in whatever it is that they're doing. And it's important that everyone, no matter what you're doing, whether it's an event, whether it's a social, whether it's just hanging out with a friend who might have a disability, having those conversations and reflections on, you know, where can I make myself better? Where can I make this more inclusive? Where can I give more power to their voice, and utilizing non-disabled privilege to do that.
Breland, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Breelyn Billy, a disability rights advocate from Waupun, now a master's student in the La Follette School of Public Affairs at UW-Madison. We talked about disability pride and her experience navigating campus life with a disability. And there's still time for you to join in with your thoughts, your experiences. You can email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. Did you mark Disability Pride Month in your community? Is there a concern, an issue of accessibility that you think needs to be addressed? Again, email wisconsintoday@wpr.org.